come and take me to the river. Said my life take two. Oh Lord have mercy on this weary soul.
Welcome to Go Yard with Mama Mac, helping you to hit a home run in life when you feel like striking out.
It's time for Go Yard, and we're excited to be here tonight. As always, live in the studio, I am Mama Mac, and with me is the famous Dr. Angel Falzone. How are you tonight, Doctor?
I am doing well. How are you
doing? Great. We're actually drying out a little bit, although it rained a little bit today, but... Florida's having a lot of rain recently, and we're in Clearwater, and we're kind of in the middle of it, it seems like, but it's okay.
Yeah, I'm excited for it to start drying out a little bit.
Let's get some more sunshine going. We are so excited to be on the air again tonight, and with a new topic. We just did two on happiness and joy, and if any of you missed the last two radio shows, go to our website. I think they're up there. If not, they might still be here on this TanTalk1340.com podcast for Go Yard until the end of the month. So that might be. So anyway, we just welcome you to go and listen and see what is going on around here in Go Yard. We've got some good things going on week after week. I thought the joy and the happiness series was really good, Doctor. I
enjoyed it too. And it's a lot of really great stuff to put into our life and to practice.
Oh, yeah. Because there's so many of us that don't, a lot of people don't even realize how they can have that joy. It's not something that is unattainable, you know?
Absolutely. And it doesn't revolve around the outside circumstances.
That's right. So it's an inner thing. Remember, we talked about that. So if you missed those shows, go and catch those on the TanTalk1340.com. If it was in July, then those are on our Go Yard 2014.org website. So go there, because all the shows that we've done since September are there. GoYard2014.org, and you can listen to them. So, we're excited. We got a new topic tonight, and this is an interesting topic, Dr. Angel.
It is an interesting topic, and we're going to be approaching it from a different perspective than we have other shows, so I'm excited about that.
Yeah, it might be controversial in a way. And we actually welcome people to call in, as we always do, but some topics lend themselves to call-ins and text-ins, and some just don't. And we recognize that. And if you want to weigh in during this show tonight, and you very well might want to add your 2 cents or a little snippet about your situation, the number is 727-441-3000. One more time, 727-441-3000. We have Google search texting that works 24/7, 365, and that comes straight to my phone right here. And so that number is 727-888-4171. One more time on the texting, and you can send texts or you can call in, and our engineer will patch you through here into the studio. The texting number again, 727-888-4171. What is the topic tonight, Dr. Angel Falzone?
Well, the topic tonight is, when is enough enough?
When is enough enough? What does that mean? Food, like we go out to eat? Is that what, you know, when have I had my fill?
You know, it can mean a lot of things.
It's not necessarily about food, though, is it?
No.
No. It's more about life circumstances, isn't it?
True.
Yeah. And when is enough enough? And why is there even a need for a show like this, Doctor?
Well, you know, I think a lot of times, and I see it a lot just with different patients and stuff, and then they're coming in and they're overwhelmed and they have these situations or relationships or jobs or all kinds of things that this can relate to.
Right.
And they just don't know, when is enough enough? Do I just keep persevering and going until I'm drop dead?
Right.
Or is there a time where I'm like, okay, I've put all I can put in this and it's not going to move forward anymore.
Right.
And I might need to change direction.
So it may not necessarily be a marriage. That's not necessarily what we're talking about, but it can be that.
It can relate to any, it really could just relate to food. I mean, it could relate to your job.
It could actually relate to food.
Could it?
When have I gone to the Golden Corral, which I don't do, but eaten too much, right? Or somebody may say, yeah, there's times I just overstuff and then I don't feel well.
Absolutely. Right? You know, I just took the kids on a cruise. And
I know you did. You're so tanned. And you can all see, if you're local, you can see us on tantalk1340.com right now. If you're on the radio, you can actually switch over to the computer. Tantalk1340.com. You can see Dr. Angel right here, tan as she is.
I am tan. But, you know, we'd go to dinner, and you can eat all you can eat on a cruise. So 8 days on a cruise with three teenage boys. They sure put a hurting on those food. They had 5-6 appetizers a night, you know, and one night I had a look at him and say, you know, it's enough.
Really?
You've had enough.
You've had enough. Wow. Oh, okay. No wonder they've grown. Your youngest is in here tonight with us, and I think he's a foot taller. So anyway, okay. So it doesn't necessarily mean that it's about a relationship, but it could be a relationship with somebody that you have at work, somebody that you have in your life that is a friend that has kind of abused that friendship, perhaps. It can be a mother-daughter situation. It can be so many different things. When is enough enough? It can be a marriage. It can be a relationship. And I think I'd like to add dot, dot, dot. You know how I am about those dots. Right after when is enough enough. Handling difficult people in our lives.
True. Or difficult situations.
Or difficult situations.
It could be job-related or career-related. Yeah. So this is good because it's an umbrella concept. What I mean by that, it could span across so many different dynamics of people's lives. But I think each of us are going through different circumstances or relationships or things going on, and sometimes we're just not sure when is enough enough.
You know, I've heard a lot of people use this term, and I think you probably do in counseling, doctor, although I'm not in there when you are counseling, but is this helpful? I have heard that term really thrown around a lot in the last few years. You know what I'm saying? I mean, more so than it used to be. Is this helpful? You want to define that, and how would that apply to this?
Well, you know, when we're looking at a situation, that's one of the first things we kind of want to look at is what's going on. Is this relationship or the situation, is this a positive thing? And that's what I mean by helpful in your life. I mean, is this feeding and contributing in a positive manner at some level in
right.
your life?
Right.
You know, I just had dealt with someone today who's having a really difficult situation with her job. And she's just like, I feel like just calling it quits. And my first is, okay, you're in a moment right now.
There you go.
Let's stop. And let's calm down. And, you know, if you walk away right now, it's going to hurt income. So maybe we need to make a new plan. But I'm not saying that means she has to stay there and hasn't had enough. But when we walk away from a paying job and all of a sudden, where's the money going to come from?
Sure.
The mortgage is still going to be due. So we have to do it in a process.
So we could actually say this is kind of is this helpful or is this hurtful?
Absolutely. And so we want to look at that, and we want to find if there's any nugget in this that's positive. Because sometimes when we're going through a situation with a relationship, we tend to put the flashlight on all the negatives when it's feeling that way.
Right.
And we can find all the things wrong.
Right.
And so what I like to challenge people to do is tell me what's good. Find me something good. If you can't find me anything good, right there's the line. Enough is enough.
Exactly.
There's no step forward. We have nothing to move forward with.
I'm a realtor, you know, also, and I just was talking about this a few days ago with some buyers of mine, and we were in a house, and we'd gone back to it for the second time, and they really liked it, but it had a lot of issues, okay, just a lot of work, a lot of things, but some things were really good, and I said, have you guys ever heard about just taking a piece of paper and making a list, drawing a line right down the middle, what do you like about this house, what would be something that would be kind of difficult, like how much money is it going to cost to replace all these floors, et cetera? And they said, well, yeah. And you know, in a way, it takes you back to facts versus emotions.
True.
And bottom line, they didn't buy that house. You know, after they did that and decided, there's just too many negatives here, too much work to do, too many expenses that are hidden that we don't know what we're going to get into. And I thought it was a wise decision. But the emotions of it, oh, we like this, oh, we like that, oh, this is cool, oh, I've always wanted that. But when it came right down to it, the facts prevailed. Talk to me about that.
Well, you know, it's funny because that's something that comes true in so many aspects of people's lives. They get wrapped up in an emotion, whether it's a positive or a negative, and they'll make these decisions in these quick emotions, positive or negative, and we're not looking at the facts of the situation. And that's what I want to challenge our listeners to do is let's look at the situation, okay? I hear your feeling a little overwhelmed or fed up or whatever, let's take it back and let's bring it back to facts. What's going on? What's
right.
positive? You know, what are the good things you like, or what's the positive things going on, and what are some of the negatives? And let's see what we can do to kind of work forward, if we can.
If we can. And in the illustration of this house, okay, the facts were, regardless of how much we like all of this, this column is huge, how much we like this. The other side was, you know, this is going to take an awful lot of effort, and we don't have the time. We don't have the money. We don't, you know, when are we going to do this? It's going to be every weekend. This is what we're going to be chained to our house. You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
So in that illustration, I mean, this can apply to relationships. I mean, if somebody is going, let's say, gone through counseling, your spouse or your boyfriend or whatever, gone through counseling, they've done this for years, and they seem to be no different than they were 6 years ago. What would you say to that, doctor?
I would say we need to step back and let's look at this.
Okay.
It depends on what's going on. I've seen, you know, relationships that would go through counseling. Sometimes they just didn't have the right therapist, and it kind of gotten stuck and gotten a rut.
Exactly.
And they weren't able to move forward.
Right.
That happens at times. So sometimes I would suggest, especially if it's a marriage, that you would try a second person.
Oh, absolutely. I agree with that. Don't just stop right there.
Stop right there.
Right.
Sometimes when people walk in the door for marriage counseling, they're looking for that permission to say, walk out that door. They need the therapist to tell them
that. Yes, yes.
I will never say that in therapy. That's a decision. That's a huge decision, and only the people involved can make that.
Right.
But what I will tell you is, let's look at what's going on. Where are the positives?
Right.
Where are... what's going on that fills you, or what needs are being met? And sometimes, like we talked about earlier, they can't see that because that flashlight's so on to, oh, well, he's always at work, or she's always this, and he's always that. Let's stop. Nobody's always. So let's take it back. And those might be valid issues going
right.
on in the relationship, and it may or may not be saved, but let's look at it.
You don't like the word always, do you?
I hate the word always.
And you don't like the word never?
I hate the word never.
All right, Dr. Angel Falzoni, why don't you like those two words?
Well, because no one can always do anything. We're
right.
not absolute beings.
And right.
no one can really never do anything most of the time.
Okay.
So there's always some kind of in between. Now,
okay.
they might mostly do this
okay.
or mostly not do this, but that always and nevers, there's very extreme words, absolute words, and I just don't like them.
Okay, I get it. So a person comes in, they sit down, and they say, I've gone through marriage counseling, I've gone through this, I've gone through that. I'm back in the same, let's say two people, are back in the same situation we were 5 years ago or 3 years ago. There's no real change. How do we know? This is our topic for tonight. When is enough enough in whatever realm it is? I mean, there's got to be some kind of parameters, some kind of emotional triggers that help us arrive at, I'm done with whatever.
Well, a lot of times the done, and it can be different for and in every situation. So there's not this formula when one happens and two happens and three happens.
That's
oh,
right.
That's enough.
That's a good point.
There isn't a formula like
right.
that. And each person is an individual.
Right.
So when we're having enough is when this is totally negatively impacting my daily functioning. When this is the
Explain that.
When most of my thought processes are on this problem, or all I want to talk about is this problem. So I'm calling up this friend, and I'm calling up this friend, and everybody's hearing the same
and they're sick of hearing it.
True, they really do. When we're up at night, and this is what we're thinking about,
yeah.
we're brooding about, and we're keeping it in the thoughts, it'll start affecting our bodies, our stress levels, blood pressure, sugar levels.
It will.
All kinds
Absolutely.
Of stuff.
Absolutely. Digestive.
Whack. Absolutely.
Oh, it'll knock you for a loop when you're going through and huge emotional stuff.
So having enough is when we look and say, okay, what would my life look like if this was no longer here?
Oh, that's excellent. And if you're taking notes out there, that was great, doctor. And by the way, we should let the people know that we are just letting this happen tonight with, sometimes we have notes, but tonight we really don't, because we feel like we can talk out of our hearts because of our experience in counseling for years, et cetera, right?
Absolutely.
So I like the point you just made, but go back and make that one more time.
What would my life look like
yes.
if this situation wasn't here anymore?
That's a great point. That's a bell ringer right there. If you're going to make some changes, and if you're going to get to the point of enough is enough, then you need to be thinking what your life would be looking like and whether or not that would feel good, right?
Well, and really look at what it looks like. A lot of times we look at the emotional, oh, I won't have to deal with this bad habit or this bad thing or this bad thing. But there are some things in there that a lot of people don't consider. If we're talking marriage, we've been talking marriage. Some people don't consider the financial.
Yes.
They don't consider just the support of having another individual in your house.
Right.
They don't consider all the other aspects that might be coming along with that. And so let's look at what would your life be like if this problem wasn't there, if this relationship or this situation was gone.
Right.
And a lot of times we have that, you know, grass is greener over the septic tank.
over the septic tank.
That's what I tell people because they see, you know.
Instead of on the other side of the fence. I like that, doctor. I like that.
It's true because under that green grass is a whole pile of nothing good. There's problems. It doesn't matter which decision you make.
That's right. That's true.
There's going to be problems. If you stay, you have to work out problems. If you leave, you have a new set of problems. But there's always problems.
Okay.
So there's not a problem-free decision ever.
Ever. In any area, whatever it is, there's going to be issues. There's going to be consequences, really,
right,
to your decision, one way or another.
True. And so we need to look at what could be in that septic tank.
Okay.
And are we willing to live with those new problems?
Right. Mm. Wow. Wow. Okay. I like that. Mm. A lot of times I think that people tend to become martyrs in a way with the issues in their lives, with difficult people. You know, we're talking about when is enough enough, or I stop communicating with somebody. Let's take it away from marriage for a minute, doctor, and let's talk about a friend.
Okay.
Okay? A friend who calls you, and this happened. I had a person call me a few days ago and said, I want to lay a situation out before you and tell me what I should do. And basically, this situation was somebody that this lady had tried to help for 3 or 4 years, had tried to be there for her always, okay? But after 3 or 4 years of taking the calls, responding to the emails, you know, opening the door when she was destitute or whatever the case may be, all those things, nothing had ever really changed. And so she calls and she says, when's enough enough? She asked me this. So this has been rolling around in me for a few days. And this situation with this lady on the phone from another state, a friend that I know, it caused me to start thinking, when do you say, okay, I can't do this anymore?
Well, absolutely. And that's a really common problem. I've had several patients in counseling with very, very similar situations going on. And my first question is, are you hurting or helping?
There you go. We're back to the helpful, hurtful thing.
When you pick up that phone, are you enabling that person to continue making
those choices? Oh, are you helping them or hurting them?
Right.
Oh, that's very good. Because the enabling thing, especially with substance abuse, which we're going to do some shows on that soon, but especially with substance abuse, people can think they're helping and they're not.
But it can be a lot of issues, and it's not just rolled into that, because I've seen it with, like, adult children who aren't really transitioning into adulthood, and parents are still paying all their bills. And,
exactly.
Okay, so there's a time we help. We're parents, and we want our kids to do well, but are we helping them to grow and mature on their own, too? Or are we stopping that from them? Same with friendships.
Right.
And sometimes there's a time we need to take a break. Sometimes there's a time we just need enough was enough.
Yeah.
This wasn't working. This isn't the role, but sometimes we keep that role. And I'm going to tell you, this is where the problem comes in, because I hear it from a lot of patients. Well, they keep that role because they kind of need to be needed.
Yes. Question, listeners. Are you staying in situations that are not helpful to you because you have that need to be needed?
And a lot of people do. And so it makes them feel good. Well, this person, you know, looks up to me or needs my expertise or needs my advice, although they're not taking it or utilizing it, it still can feed that person and make them feel wanted, needed, valuable. And so we have to kind of look at, what's this feeding in me? Because everything is always feeding something in us. That's what motivates us.
Hmm. That's very good. I like that. And that's a good way to look at this, you know, when you're saying is enough enough. Okay, so let's say somebody is in a friendship, whatever kind of relationship, and it's so frustrating to that person, okay? There's no progress, there's no change, okay? So if we stay in it and keep going around the same mountain over and over again,
We're doing the definition of insanity.
And we are.
So we need to either accept it, this is how it's going to be.
Right.
Or we need to put some boundaries and parameters and make the change ourselves. If that's take a break, if that's walk away, whatever that looks like, depending on that friendship relationship.
Whoa. And some people out there might say, that sounds easier to do than it really is. I mean, it's not easy.
Boundaries are never easy to have in relationships.
But gosh, doctor, that's so true. We did three shows back in October, November about boundary setting, and I would refer you all back there to our website, goyard2014.org, and listen to those boundaries shows we did, because they were excellent on setting boundaries. And in a nutshell, why, you know, if people are frustrated and say enough's enough in this situation, is it a lot of times because they are partially to blame for not putting boundaries where they need to be?
Well, absolutely. Anytime we have an issue in a relationship, it's fed by both sides. If it's because one didn't have clear, healthy boundaries, there's still participants on both sides of an issue. Issues don't happen with one person.
Right.
So we always have some contributing factor. If I didn't have good boundaries, if I'm letting you get it, if I'm not speaking my voice, I don't know what is feeding it. It could be a whole variety of things, but something's feeding that.
Okay. So sometimes these situations are that we feel needed, or that we feel important because this person says, and people like this, it's been my experience, they'll butter you up with, I couldn't do this without you. Oh, you know what I mean? You're just the best. You know what I'm saying? It kind of soothes our ego or whatever.
Yeah, it strokes the ego, and people want to feel good about themselves.
Right.
And so, and sometimes we keep those relationships because we measure our life to theirs, and we're like, oh, we're not where they are. We're pretty good.
Oh, that's another good point. I think it's time for a break. We got a lot more to talk about. And if you want to get involved in this discussion, we welcome you to do that. 727-441-3000. Just call in. It's going to hit you hard till you see stars. It's going to put you through a world alert. Oh, I don't believe in getting even, but getting what you deserve.
Prompt professional service is what you will receive when you allow Marcia McAllister of Charles Rittenberg Realty to help find that perfect home or list your home for sale. With over 23 years of experience in the Tampa Bay area, you will enjoy a smooth transaction from start to finish. Call Marcia today at 727-417-0707. Now is a great time to buy or sell a home. Call Marcia McAllister at 727-417-0707.
This is Megan, an independent ambassador for Plexus, the pink drink. There is finally a healthy solution to help you lose weight. It's a most natural product that will burn fat, not muscle. People around the country are experiencing amazing results, and you can too. Check out my independent ambassador website for my contact info, testimonials, and product information at mkramer.myplexusproducts.com.
Is it time to consider a new pool enclosure or beautiful screen room for your family's enjoyment? Family-owned and operated, Boyle's Aluminum is the place to call for timely installation of all types of seamless guttering and screen enclosures. Boyle's Aluminum is A-rated on Angie's List and with the Better Business Bureau. Check out their website at boylesaluminum.com or call today for a free estimate at 727-504-9354. Mention this ad for a discount on your project. Boyle's Aluminum, treating you like family with honest and reliable service.
Tampa Bay's TAN Talk, entertaining and informative radio for the Sunshine State. See you driving around town with the girl I love, and I'm like, forget you. I guess the change in my pocket wasn't enough. I'm like, forget you and forget her too. Said if I was richer, I'd still be wager. No, wait, that's a shh. And although that's pain in my chest, I still wish you the best with the
Don't you love our engineer, Chris? He's amazing, comes up with that. Just want to forget you, right? And that other one, all I want to do is be done. All I want to be is done. Yeah, that was amazing.
I thought you'd appreciate that one. I know you guys are country fans.
Yes, yeah, we are. And those are great. Who is singing each one of them?
The band Perry. Sings okay. The song, the name of the song is Done.
Done, the first one, okay.
And then that is CeeLo Green.
Yeah, CeeLo, yeah. All right, that's cool. Thanks, Chris. You can call in and Chris will answer the phone and patch you into us with your comments or your questions. 727-441-3000. Dr. Angel and Mama Mac here on Go Yard. And tonight's topic is, when is enough enough? Doctor?
Yeah.
When is it?
One. Good question.
So she's already given us a bunch of insight. Back to the helpful versus hurtful comments and situations that we all find ourselves in. And then we'll kind of go amplify from that. I think a lot of times people don't take time to sit down and, I guess, reflect on whether or not a relationship or a situation is helpful. Or
true.
Hurtful.
You know, a lot of times we just get wrapped up in the emotion. And it's usually when we're feeling a strong emotion, positive or negative, that we make quick decisions.
Right.
And so reflection is great because reflection gives those emotions time to kind of calm and take a break. And then we can kind of use some logic.
Right. Logic. Wow. Yeah, that's kind of cool.
A little higher order thinking.
Yeah.
But that will help us make the decision we want. And whatever the outcome is decisions are big decisions. And each person has to make that choice for himself or herself, no matter what's going on. You know, and sometimes when you are friends with somebody or somebody's in your life and you see that they're kind of walking this path and this is not a healthy thing going on, I might see it from the outside, but that person has to get to the point where they're not only willing, able can see it, but that they're willing to move forward or around or make a change
right.
in some direction.
And sometimes circumstances can be extreme in people's lives and they still aren't ready to make a change.
Absolutely. Everybody has to be. Change only happens, you know, when you're ready. You know, there's a joke that talks about how many psychiatrists does it take to change a light bulb? The light bulb has to want to change itself. It's true. Each person has to find
sure.
that ready point for change or it's not going to happen.
Right.
You know, I hear this all the time, like, individuals come into me, oh, well, my spouse is, you know, won't stop smoking or won't stop drinking or won't stop dipping or whatever. And they're so fed up and they want them to quit. And I'm like, they're not quitting until they're ready to quit.
Right.
Until it's their motivation. It's their want. It's their drive. It's their reason. And as much as you don't like it, it's not going to happen until that person says, you know what, I'm ready to not do this.
So with that said, doctor, the person who's living with that and is at the end of the rope with it and realizes that they're not going to change till they're ready to change, whatever the thing is, how do they process all of that and come to a decision of, you know what, enough's enough? How do they get there? There's got to be a process to get there, right?
There is a process, and it starts with reflection.
Okay.
I really think any process is we got to step back. We have to make the list. If you need to make a physical list, I think they're great because it gives us a visual, something we can kind of look back and reflect on.
I do too. I really
a lot.
Like that.
It's a tool I love to use in therapy. And we talk about, okay, what's everything that's going on that's positive? What's everything that's going on that's negative? And then we start looking at, okay, what can I not live with? What's absolutely, you know, the no-no. Where's my line here? Sometimes it's a whole bunch of little things and it's not this definitive line. Sometimes there's those line jars and then we have to talk. Okay, what can we do to help change that?
Right.
And if we can't, then what can you do with that person to help change that? Sometimes it's getting into therapy together. Sometimes it's just one person getting into therapy and learning that some changes I make, boundaries I might learn to set,
sure,
will change that dynamic.
Right.
Maybe positive, maybe negative, but it will change it.
Exactly.
In some way. And so and empowering people because, you know, I think that's it. When people are feeling when's enough enough is they're feeling powerless.
Right. Exactly. Yes.
And I think that's that. It's a horrible feeling to feel powerless. And it doesn't matter what we're talking about. When you are feeling powerless, it's you don't even know where to go, where to look, how to breathe sometimes.
Right.
And so it's taking that step back. What's going on? What's at the heart of what's really going on? Because sometimes the things that we think are really bothering us with a relationship or a job or whatever isn't. And when that's that reflection, when we start looking at it, it comes sometimes to a different light than we first thought it was.
Then how in therapy, doctor, since you are our licensed expert, PhD, mental health counselor, and you have several counselors that work under you, how do you get a person to be reflective in the right way to realize what's really going on?
Well, sometimes they can just see it for themselves, because when we start getting to it, you know, they start making their lists, and we're looking at this list, and we're like, okay, but this is how you're telling me you feel. So what on this list creates those feelings? And when they really can't identify this feeling with the evidence, so to speak,
okay,
then we know there's something else going on. And, you know, and we're all like that. I can't even say the word. I'm tongue-tied.
Communicative?
No.
What?
Cumulative.
Sorry. All right. I don't know. What
even the
was?
Doctor
that
can't
was good.
Talk.
Yay. All right. Dr. Angel said it.
But okay. We are. So, like, things that happen earlier in the day is going to impact things that are happening
there
later in the day.
And sure.
By the time we get home to our spouse or whatever, our kids, you know, we may think this is really the problem, but the problem may really stemmed way back up and with a whole different problem and a whole different person way up earlier in our day.
Right. Okay.
And so it just keeps that building, that residual effect, and it keeps trembling down.
So when people look at their situation and they say, I think I'm getting to this point where enough is enough, they really need to step back. I hear you saying step back, breathe, sit down in your recliner, rest. I have found personally when I get overwhelmed, I think that's the word, you know, with two jobs and kids and grandkids and everything going on. And when I feel that feeling of overwhelm, I really, and you've heard me say this many times, but I will get in my little car and I'll go to the causeway and I'll get my chair out of the car and I'll sit down and I'll take some deep breaths and I actually pray, you know, and say, God, help me get a handle on why I'm feeling this. What am I trying to fit too many things in one day? Or, you know, where's the stressor here? Or what's causing it? It works for me, doctor.
It's true, and it does work. And it's taking those steps backwards. And one of the things that's, you know, you can set yourself free on is, you know, do I pick up the phone every time this person calls? Guess what? You don't have to.
Oh, boy, that's going to set a bunch of people free right now.
You don't have to.
You do not have to.
Just because your phone rings doesn't mean you have to answer.
Exactly.
So if you're feeling like this friend's calling you and it's pulling on you and they're needing more than what you can give in that moment, guess what? You can just let it go to voicemail
right, and
wait a day or so and return that call.
Okay. That brings me to this. What about the spouse? I will not make it one gender or the other. I just happen to know some people. You know, that this would be some guys that I know that tend to, I don't know how they get any work done all day long because they're so busy texting the wife or checking on the girlfriend or all day long. I'm talking about 10 texts an hour or mm-hmm. more. I mean, seriously, I know of one situation that this person gets 400 to 500 texts
oh my goodness.
A day. Now, to me, that is way over the top. That's insanity. That is abusive in its own right. Okay?
True.
But the person who is receiving all that, I actually happened to be sitting across the table from this person a few months back, and the phone never stopped. Just text, 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 text. And so I said, how do you handle that? And I said, can you just not look? And she said, I think something's wrong with me now because I want to look.
Wow. That's insightful. Because you get trained to. It really, you do.
It's like Pavlov's dog, right?
It is. It's kind of that way. You know, technology is great. Technology can be very difficult at times. And just because we have the means, and most everybody these days and age have their own telephone number, their phone's in their pocket, it's with them all the time. And so when you don't answer, the other person's like, oh, you're just ignoring me.
Right.
You know what? I am ignoring people at times, not specifically, but I'm just not answering my phone. Maybe
right.
I'm just tired. Maybe I'm cooking dinner. Maybe I just had a hard day and just need a break for myself. And I don't let that guilt. I let them know, no, I wasn't ignoring you. And I do call them when I can.
Right.
It's not about not wanting to talk to you. Sometimes it's about I need to take care of me or I need to take care of my children.
Back to that point of rest.
And I can't let the other person guilt me into,
exactly.
Well, I know your phone was in your pocket because I see it there all the time.
Right.
Just because it's in my pocket doesn't mean it's my leash.
Oh, doctor, you are just profound tonight. Just because it's in your pocket doesn't mean it's your leash. Wow.
It's true, and it's kind of become people's leash.
It definitely has become. Do you go into restaurants? I know you do. I do a lot. And you're sitting there, and you see what appears to be a husband and wife or a couple, whatever, sitting there, and they're both on their phones, and there's no discussion going on. I mean, I see this a lot.
It happens all the time. It happens way too much. True, we were just on the cruise, so I'm going to bring this back into this because they had a data plan where you could get on your social media on the cruise on your phone for, you know, they made it relatively inexpensive. And none of us do it because we go on a cruise to take that social media and electronic break. And at the end of the cruise, they sent me a survey and they're like, did you know you could get on Facebook while you're on the cruise? And I wrote, I do know that. And they're like, well, why didn't you use it? And I said, if I wanted to be on Facebook and social media, I could have stayed home and done that. But I wanted to have quality family time. And that's cool. Why we chose to leave it at home.
Right.
But that's the problem. People are on the cruise and they're Facebooking everything to every. They're not with who they're with.
Totally. Totally. I know. It's so frustrating.
It is very frustrating, but it's frustrating to be those people who are leashed by their phone.
It is.
You know, sometimes we have to be on call for emergencies. I have kids.
Some phone jobs.
My kids' phones are set at a different ringtone. When their phone calls, I'm answering it because it could be an emergency. However,
sure.
There's rules. We don't bring our phones to the table. I know we've talked about this in several shows. I had to set boundaries in my own home, and that's where boundaries and phones come in place. When somebody texts me, you may hear back from me in 5 minutes. You may hear back from me in 2 days.
Right.
Because it just depends on what's going on and when I'm able to get to it.
But you are allowing yourself, you're giving yourself permission to have that latitude. And a lot of people with electronics these days, it's like an obsession, doctor.
It is. It's like a narcissism that I feel like I'm so important that I have to just respond on the fly to everything that comes in.
And it is a narcissism,
people,
yes.
We're training people. That's what they expect from us.
Right.
So when we don't, then they take it personally.
Right.
And I think in my life, I've tried to communicate, you know, I love you. You're valuable. I value this relationship. However, I'm not always going to be able to answer that call when you call or make that text. I will get back to you, though.
Yeah.
I'm not going to just ignore you.
Right.
But sometimes I just needed to take a break. And I set myself free. I don't feel guilty when that phone rings. And sometimes I'll have upwards of 20 messages by the morning. I don't usually answer my phone in the evening at all.
Right.
And I'll get back to them that next day. And I don't even let myself feel guilty. Like, oh my gosh, my phone's ringing. What's going on?
And that's important, I think, in this topic of when is enough enough. A lot of times what is causing us to get to the point of enough is enough is stress.
Yes.
Is we are allowing all of this to crowd us so much that our peace has gone out the window. You know what I mean? Our tranquility, our calmness, because the phone is ringing. And for me, with real estate, and I'm supposed to answer it most of the time, it does that for me. If it's still ringing at 8 or 9 o'clock at night, it's hard to get calm and
absolutely.
Decompress.
So
you know what I mean?
It's okay to turn things in. It's okay to turn things off. And we need to communicate to people, though. That's what we're going to do. So, because they're trained to our immediate responses. And so it's okay to go out. You know, if you're dating somebody, you know, you don't have to text them all the time.
No.
You know, relationships are important to have time together and time apart.
So the spouse or the girlfriend or whatever who is getting these crazy text constantly, where are you, what are you doing right now, who are you with, where did you just go, why?
It's insecurity and it's no trust.
Oh my gosh. So there has to be dialogue about that, right?
Absolutely.
Could save a relationship if people can get those proper boundaries there with that issue, correct?
And that means that relationship needs to come, probably needs some professional help to come and build that trust and that security, because somebody is feeling very insecure and there's some lack of trust and it's breaking down somewhere. That's the most important thing that we need to work on building, because we can't bombard people. We overwhelm them. We're stressing that relationship out. And guess what? They're not going to want to be around us after a while.
No, after a while, when we are constantly bombarding people, no, they don't. They absolutely, they don't. Wow. What about the person? We just had somebody text in, and this is a good question. Okay. What about the person who now leaves every job because they just don't like their boss, and now there's been repeated job changes, okay? Is there a lack of desire to work things out, or is that person way too edgy or...
Well, here's the thing. You know, we're talking about when's enough enough.
Right.
Some people stay in something way too long, and it's way toxic, and it's destroying them. And then we have some people that as soon as the first negative thing happens, they're out the door. That's it. Enough was enough.
Right.
Okay. There is a middle ground.
There is.
You know,
it's a balance, isn't it? We're back to that word.
It is a balance. And we talked about, you know, the grass is greener over the septic tank. And that's what this person job hopping is finding. Oh, well, I'll just go over here. And then they're finding there's a problem here. So now I'm going to go over here.
Right.
We need to be able to work through conflicts and problems.
That's exactly right. And if we don't ever learn to do it, it's going to get...
We're going to suffer because every relationship, every job, everything is going to have conflicts and problems.
It is.
And resolution is a huge skill set for us to have.
So the person who says, okay, I'm making my list. I heard you, doctor. I'm going to make a list of the pros and cons or the things that are bugging me about this that's getting me to the point of wanting to quit, whatever it is, a job, a relationship, whatever. And they look at those things and they don't know how to put the importance on what is more important. You know, can you give us any insight into that, doctor?
Well, sometimes we just need someone to bounce it off of, somebody that's not emotionally involved in that situation. So sometimes we need a professional person to bounce it off of.
Right,
it depends
exactly
on the situation. And, you know, I always have my go-to people. And, you know, just this week I was having a difficult situation at work. And, you know, I went to my go-to person. I said, okay, here's the situation. Am I being sensitive or is this valid? Because I need to check in with my own self. We
absolutely
all do.
Yes.
And so we need those go-to people that we can say, here's how what I'm feeling. This is what I'm thinking. This is what the list I made. Can you help? What do you see as important?
Right.
Not that we do everything the other person tells us, but sometimes getting a different perspective is huge. It's like putting a new flashlight in a new area. So like,
absolutely.
Oh, I didn't think about that.
Good point. I like that. Another point that I was just thinking when you were saying that is don't rush into these major decisions. Even if it means that the person that's just bugging you with phone calls, whatever, you can learn to set those boundaries. It doesn't mean you have to tell that person off and scream at them and tell them, I'm done with you. I'll never talk to you. You know,
you can
that
learn
kind
to
of
do it different.
You know what I'm saying? Kind of, what's the word? Over the top.
And you can learn to do it
behavior.
Different. You know,
yeah.
we set those behaviors up by allowing them. So it's going to take time to change that a little bit. But just because a relationship or something going on has got issues and problems doesn't mean let's throw it out with the trash.
And some people, they do immediately.
Exactly. And sometimes that we're in relationships that are super toxic and it's taking our health
toxic.
Down.
Define
toxic.
Define it, doctor.
Oh.
Toxic.
Toxic are those relationships that just feel like a pound, mounds and mounds of bricks are sitting on your shoulders and on your chest, and you're stressed constantly. Your feelings are usually not too stable. You're always feeling overwhelmed, depressed, downcast, anxious. Your thoughts are just in this circular thinking pattern that's just negative. It's starting to affect your health. You're going to notice blood pressure going up, heart rate's not doing well. You're probably going to be gaining weight. You know, all these things are happening. Those are toxic.
Okay.
Some toxic relationships with professional help can be saved. Some of them, we need to take a break. And sometimes it needs to end.
Right. Wow. Whoa. Okay. I think that applies to a lot of people, don't you think? I mean, we all have those situations, maybe not currently, but we have had in times past where we've got to a point where it wasn't working for whatever reason, whatever the connection was had been broken or the and I know that you're hesitant to talk much about marriages, but in general, you know, I heard you say this, tell me if I'm wrong. Don't rush into quick decisions on that.
Positive or negative. You know, I have so many people, patients will come to me and they'll start dating somebody and 3 weeks later, like, guess what? We're going to get married next month. I'm like, oh my goodness.
Yeah.
Red light. Stop.
Right.
Stop. I know you're happy right now, but let's start looking at everything. And they do the same thing when they're negative. You know, they find out something negative or they fear something is going on, and then that's it. I'm out the door. They pack their bags and they're gone, and the other person probably don't even know what happened.
Right.
We can't, they're big decisions, and they're not decisions we should make alone or in a vacuum is what I call it. It's decisions we need to make with counsel, sometimes with professional counsel, sometimes with just people we trust, and not just people who are going to tell you what you want to hear.
Right.
We need to have absolute opinions. You know, we need to look at it.
And if you are one of those that calls five of your closest friends constantly and tells all the negative about that relationship or whatever, it's going to be hard to get an unbiased opinion from them when you want to ask them what you should do, right?
Absolutely.
If that's all they've heard is all the negatives about him or her, woo, it's going to be hard to get a good answer.
But we need to stop and think, how would we feel if that person's calling their first five friends and telling them all the negatives they think or feel about us? And so that's something we need to stop doing.
Exactly.
Because first of all, we're just giving other people our venom, our toxic, our negativity. And there's times we need to talk things, and there are negative things. But we can't just, you know, go from one person to the next, to the next, to the next with
all this. Tell your story.
And people do. It's kind of a habit.
Right.
And there are people that get attention off of it, and, oh, I'm so sorry you're going through that. And everyone, like, gives them that attention, so it's a feeding this
right
need to sometimes to be the martyr. And we deal with that. And sometimes people in marriages or relationships set themselves up to where they are going to be the martyr. That person cannot not let this person, you know, it's going to happen because they pick situations that are so unhealthy or just not well. And they end up taking that martyr role, but that martyr role, oh, man, I can't believe you're going through that. Oh, you poor thing. And they're getting that attention. And that's something we need to look at. Am I setting myself up to be a martyr?
Woo, that's good. And that's huge. Okay, I want to ask you about this concept because I've been thinking about this, especially today. When it comes to coming to a decision where when is enough enough on whatever the topic, what do we really value? I think when we look at, when we make our lists, because I've heard you saying, doctor, get a piece of paper, get a pad, make a list, kind of like my friends did with the house that they didn't buy, okay? And you're writing those things down on both sides of the sheet. But when you look at, how do you put value on some things and not on others? I mean, you understand what I'm saying? When it comes to being done with a relationship or when enough is enough in whatever, a job, whatever. How do we place value?
Well, and that's an individual thing.
Right.
Because each person values things different than another person. I've had a married couple walk into my office, sit down, you know, and we made this list, and it boiled down to the negative thing was is the husband smoked, and that was it. She was done because she wasn't going to have a smoker. He worked. He provided. He was true to her. You know, they had fun together. But because of the smoking thing, that was it. That was her value. And we're like, let's look at these positives.
Right.
You have all of this. So you're going to throw all of this away. You may not get this for this one thing. You know, and sometimes that's their value. And she did. She walked out. But that's what she valued.
Oh. But that's a good question, don't you think? When you're evaluating if enough is enough, you know, what is important to you? Living in a peaceful home without arguing, and maybe it cannot ever change because of the dynamics that have developed over a period of time. Is that important? Is that valuable, living in that peace? Or are you one of these that just loves to scream and yell? And you realize that it doesn't matter who you live with, you're going to be picking them apart, and you're going to be hard for those people to see that in themselves, though, isn't it, Doctor?
True, and we call that the mirror effect. You know, sometimes we think we're looking out a window, and we're looking at the negative things in someone else, but we're forgetting to look in the mirror. What are our negative things?
Right.
And how do people view us? In our house, we play a silly game sometimes where we change roles in the family. So maybe we'll be driving in the car, sitting at the table, and I'll look at one of the kids, and I'll be like, okay, I'm going to be Spencer. And Spencer will be like, I'm going to be Mommy. And, you know, and
really?
But we act like that person. And you know what? You really get to see a different dynamic of how you present.
Oh, my gosh. That's really
cool. It's very enlightening. It's a fun little game that we do to pass time. But it has been so enlightening over the years for each of us to kind of see how each of us takes on that person's, how they're presenting their words, their actions.
I like that. And that takes effort. That takes ingenuity. That takes not just throwing in a towel and saying enough's enough.
True.
I think a lot of times people go too far with the D word, the divorce word. I've heard this for years. And it's thrown around. I'm just going to divorce you. I'm just going to divorce you. And, you know, I've always said to people, don't use that word. Try not to use that word. Don't use that word as a threat. Because it's so often, once it's out there, it's easier, you know?
True. And, you know, a lot of times we like to use it in empty threats to get people to do what we're wanting them to do. And
exactly.
That's so unhealthy. And so I definitely try to counsel people, if you're using the word, then you better be prepared to follow through with that word.
Right.
Because that's not right. That's not healthy. And that's pretty manipulative.
Right. Let's try to sum all this up, Doctor.
Oh, sum it all
up. Wow. This has been interesting. Great.
It has been an interesting show.
Yes, it has. So when someone out there is saying, I'm just to that point, I'm thinking that this is enough. Enough is enough. And I'm not going to put it. You tell them to slow down?
Slow down. Take a little break. If it's a mental break, a physical break, some kind of break. If it's a friend that's calling or somebody that's overwhelming that you don't live with, you don't have to pick up the phone. You don't have to answer the door. You can take those breaks.
Right.
Even without making that person feel unvalued. So take the break. Give yourself time. Reflect.
Okay.
Reflect.
Make a list.
Make a list. Look at it.
Of what?
Make a list. Make a list of the positives in the situation, the negatives in the situation. Ask yourself, why do I stay in this situation?
Right.
Why am I here?
Oh, that's a good one. No, that really is. Why am I here? Why am I still doing this then? Maybe it is time to be done.
Whatever, absolutely.
Whatever it is.
What's feeding me? What's my motivation in all of this?
Maybe it's financial, security, whatever it is. Could be a lot of different things.
And then getting those people that you trust to help you with the situation if you need it. And if not, get some professional help in making those decisions.
Okay, we covered a lot tonight. We're going to be doing a question and answer show soon. So send us your questions to goyard2014@gmail.com. goyard2014@gmail.com. And we just may feature your question on our next question and answer show. Dr. Angel, when is enough enough? It's been an interesting show.
It has.
We'll see what next week brings. We never know, do we?
No, I'm excited, though.
Hey, listeners, go to Facebook and Facebook 1340, and you can find us there. And for Go Yard Facebook. So anyway, hope to hear from you. Hope to see some of you writing those emails in. goyard2014@gmail.com. It's been
Dr. Angel
and Mama Mac. And we've been hitting home runs around here. Go Yard. See you next week, gang.
Good night.